Mr. Painting, reel 12. You had got through the wire and you had seen the characters on the houses.
Okay. In the moonlight, we went along this road, and first of all, we saw a killer stone, which said Frau Reeb to Kaldin. So many kilos, you see. So I said, oh, well, that's not, we're not in Germany now, otherwise it wouldn't have been front. Tinny would have been von and neck. So we went a bit farther along, and then we examined the telegraph poles along the road, and there were notices on there, which was not in German. So we said, oh, well, we're not in Germany now, we're in Denmark. But even so, we weren't going to cross people so close to the frontier. So we kept across country and got onto a main road. And on this road, we passed a Danish frontier company on the road, anyway, a body of Danish troops. And we went into a place called Bredstedbro. We got there, went to the railway station to find out what time there was a train to Copenhagen, but there was no train until the mail train at night. So we went to a hotel or a public house, anyway, a place where we could get some food and drink. And we asked for this food in English and German, and the proprietor served us and changed the English gold into Danish marks, not Danish kroners. So he was suspicious of us, of course, speaking English and English money. So he rang up the frontier guard, and a bit later on, a corporal and two men came, took charge of the building, did the doors. So we were eating our food, and I said to the corporal, we had a good food and some beer, drink. The corporal said, nay drinking. Well, a bit later on, an officer came, and he said to us in perfect English, he said, good morning. So he said, good morning, sir. He said, you're English soldiers and you got away from Germany. So we said, yes. He held out his hand, he shook hands with each one of us, and he said, I'm very pleased to welcome you to Denmark. He said, of course, he said, don't know where you come from, or how long you've been on the way, what you've done. He said, of course, he said, you won't be able to stay here. He said, you'll have to go to quarantine, because you don't know what you might bring from camp. So he found out that he told the proprietor to get some water and soap and towel for each one of us to have a wash. Of course, you can imagine we've been through edges and ditches and no wash and that. So I had this wash and cleaned up. He said, you won't be able to stay here. He said, you'll have to go to hospital. He said, you have to go back to Reeb. And he said, that's the nearest hospital. He said, I'll get a conveyance. And he did. He got a horse-drawn vehicle, a big cart, some blankets for us. And he said, I will only send one soldier with you if you promise me that you won't try to get away. He said, he will have orders to shoot if you do try to get away. So I said, oh no, you've been very good to us. He said, we won't try to get away. We're his friends. So we were met by the motorcyclist policeman and escorted into hospital. And when we got to the hospital, the doctor, Dr. Nielsen, and Nurse Agnes Piper, and the other old nurse who we call Mother, elderly one, I forget her name, and we used to call her Mother, and the motorcyclist policeman, the four of us, and those were taking a photograph, you see.
Yes.
And I've still got the photograph, which are quite very interesting to me, of course.
Yes.
And then I said, well, coming from a prison of war camp, you might bring anything in. So after we'd been fitted up, they said, right, into the hall there, take your clothes off, all the clothes off, we had to strip naked, walk up the passage into a bath. And the old nurse came to bath me, they come and bathed us, and when I got into the bath in the warm water, my right foot went black. Frostbite. I didn't know. The only sensation that I had, the only feeling that I had when we were walking, was as though I'd got a nail sticking in my toe, you know, and the sensation was going. And it was a sensation going up the bone. But as soon as the nurse saw my leg on that, she grabbed my legs, pulled my head out, pulled me out of the water with my head, and got me out and dried me once. And Private Meredith and I, we spent a fortnight in hospital getting the frostbite out. They were jolly good to us. They fed us. They said, "Has you come from a prisoner of war camp? We've been having rough food other than what you've had come in your parcels." They fed us very judiciously, you know, rough food for first, and gradually improved the quality of it. And my foot had cold dressings on, and Meredith's. We both had cold dressings on our feet until they got it out. And I've walked thousands of miles since then. And my foot doesn't hurt me, but in the winter when it's frosty, that foot goes funny. Mm-hmm. I can't explain the feeling. I say to my wife, my foot's gone funny. It doesn't make no difference at all. Walk. That comes on a bit later, you see. And then when we'd been in there a fortnight, they let us out. But while we was there, Dr. Nielsen, the doctor, he's jolly good, he had the weekly edition of the Times sent to him every week. Mm-hmm. And he said, he brought it to us. He hadn't broken the seal. He just received it that morning. And he said, I suppose you'd like to have the latest news. He gave us the paper to break the seal and to read the latest news in the weekly edition of the Times, or the Times weekly edition. And Kamerner von Steeman, that's equivalent to an English lord, he was a big noise there. And his daughter was sent in every morning with a cablegram. He had the a cablegram of the latest war news. Mm-hmm. And they brought it down to us, and we had that's the photograph of the lady.
Yes.
She's later years, you see.
Yes.
Very educated, and she's had several decorations. She wanted me to go to Denmark recently, but of course I hadn't got the money to go there, you see. So I had to turn it down, but she's done a lot of good work. And this is a picture of Nurse Agnes Piper. She was a very nice nurse. And you saw the picture of the four of us and the escort, didn't you, outside, mm-hmm. when we were got to hospital.
Were you the first British prisoners of war to escape across the frontier just there?
Yes. I believe that we were the first British prisoners of war to escape from actual internment. Mm-hmm. Other ranks, I believe one officer, a lieutenant, beat us. He got away and came back through Holland. He got an MC for it. But 1919, I was awarded a military medal. We were all awarded a military medal for escaping. And that, we never thought about any decorations or anything. I mean, all we thought about was getting away from captivity and coming back and doing the job, you see, as soldiers. I mean, that was the object. And nothing about decorations or anything. Well, anything was better than being a prisoner of war. It's your life is wasted, really. Yes, there you are. And it's not a very pleasant experience either, to be in a barbed wire camp. Of course, some of the men, they got out and went to work out on farms. As a matter of fact, a pal of mine, taken prison with me, he's dead now. He went out on a farm working, and it rather amusing. They were picking fruit, so as they couldn't eat the fruit, the old German said to him, "Englander, fluten, fluten." In other words, whistle, whistle. So if he whistled, he couldn't eat the fruit he was picking, and that was his way of telling him to whistle, so he knew he wasn't eating any fruit. Oh. He was on a farm for quite a long time. He stayed there until the end of the war, until he was repatriated. Well, now that's a sideline, isn't it? Where did I get to?
You then went to Copenhagen. Did you?
After we were when I get better. Oh, while I was in hospital, the authorities notified the consul at Copenhagen. And they decided that we were going to come home as civilians, not to be interned. You see, we weren't treated as soldiers, although they knew we were soldiers. They treated us as civilians because we got in Denmark in civilian clothes. And they notified the consul, and he sent orders down, and we were all fitted out with absolute new rig out, you know. Everything was brand new from the tailor, shoes and everything. And when... two of them, Sergeant Taylor and Private Meredith, Private Jaggers of the Queen's, Sergeant Taylor of the KRR, and Private Jaggers of the Queen's, they only had chilblains. They only did 4 days quarantine. Mm-hmm. Then they were sent up to Copenhagen to see the consul. Then they came home through that way, see, through Norway and Sweden, Sweden and Norway. We were there until we could hobble about on our feet. And we had to go down and have... go out after lunch, go and have tea with the burgomaster. He showed us all round the town, and he took us up the top of the Domkirken, which is this church here, which I've got a picture of. He took us up the top of that church, and he said, "Now, from there, you'll be able to see those islands. Those belong to Denmark, and that one belongs to Germany." So he said, "You can have your last look at Germany." And then from there...
Can I ask, did you ever hear how it was discovered that you were missing from the camp?
No. I believe, when I met some of the other prisoners afterwards, when they came back and had a chat to them, that when the commandant found that we were missing, he went on the phone there and know that we were missing. And I believe he was so wild that he threw the telephone down and broke the thing, you know, it's so wild. But... I don't know why we weren't missed, really. We couldn't have been missed, else we shouldn't have been looking out for us. We shouldn't have crossed the frontier. We shouldn't have walked into those guards who said good night to us, or the other two walked in the ditch. I mean, there'd have been a much, much stricter lookout on the frontier, I should have thought. However...
Can I also ask you, did you ever hear whether they strengthened the frontier later on?
No, I didn't know anything. No. The Danes told us that they'd had one or two Russians get over there, you see, and they'd had some Belgians. But I didn't, although I corresponded with them in Denmark for quite a time afterwards, I didn't hear anything about it, you see. And while we was in hospital, I had a letter from a bank clerk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Where did I put it? Where did I put that letter? This letter that I'm going to read now, it came from the Reebus Counterbank from the clerk there, and it's dated the 23rd of November 1915. Tommy Atkins, at the hospital. I herewith enclose a stick of tobacco to help you while away the time. I'm mighty glad for every prisoner of war that escapes case of bill, as you probably know, we received quite a few here, mostly Russians. We had some Belgians, three petty officers. They almost lost their sense of joy when we saw the Danish flag flying and knew they were in safety. They are now at the front in Belgium, so they wrote some little time ago. You are the first British soldiers we have received here in Reeb. I wonder where you escaped from. The letter carrier who brings you this letter has lost a brother in Belgium. He had joined the Canadians as he lived in Canada at the time and disappeared when the German devils commenced using gas. I close with best wishes for your speedy recovery. Yours, R. Villand.
Was that the first time that you'd heard of anything like gas being used?
Yes.
When you read that in
the letter? Yes. Of course, we didn't know anything about it as a prisoner of war, you see. Mm. And as I led the party and as I was a senior, I kept the letter, you see.
Yes.